Afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you are in the world.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk, but it's been a while since I've been on a podcast, everyone. Y'all did the great, wonderful Twitter holding up the mirror to Twitter episode without me, and that's okay. It's probably for the best so that I can't get canceled for saying anything because I didn't say anything. But I would say, if I were to say something, I completely agree with everything you said. So so then this particular episode, we're going to catch up with all of the movements that have happened in free agency. We're going to avoid any mock draft talk, as is the tradition on the Dome Patrol. Oh, and James is hanging up. And we may look ahead to a couple of theories. We'll see where the conversation takes us. But for now, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number like you. It is in the afternoon, even though it's Friday afternoon. No number yet. We'll be getting number later tonight because the wife and kids will all be gone and I'll be home by myself. Oh, so,
yeah.
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it.
Oh. Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, jacking it in San Diego. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it.
Me and my dog will hang out and invite some bitches over.
Rimshot?
Yep.
Wesley, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I guess I'll say a one. I had two beers at lunch a few hours ago. It's not a one, but I'll say something just to represent the beers. Hey, Jeff, I really like your new haircut. I can't wait to see you in G.I. Jane 2.
Keep my name out of your fucking mouth.
Feel a slap coming on.
James, welcome to the show. Yeah, speaking of not having hair, what's your number?
I'm a 0.25. That is as much as I've drunk so far. Very little. Only just got home from the gym. So
for those listening, he's taking
excellent,
two sips.
Excellent thing for the people listening to the podcast.
Yep. Great visual. Holding up a glass that everybody can see. There you go.
So we can always count.
What's that?
James.
Two fingers of beer. There you go.
James has fit two fingers
in what
of beer into his mouth. All right. Let's get into some of the things that have happened. You know how long it's been? We have not recorded since Jameis Winston signed his contract.
Correct.
So at the risk of talking about old news, want to hear everybody's thoughts on that, because that last time it was all about not getting Deshaun Watson. I know there was some article written about how they had some tough conversations after that. Was Jameis's feelings hurt, or does he understand that this is just the nature of the business? And I did wonder, kind of like, I didn't think that Jameis wasn't going to sign with us if we didn't get Watson, but it does make you wonder, how can a coach get a guy to be like bought in, right? Like, this is, there's a sense of loyalty and camaraderie and teamwork. If the guy knows, it's like, you want me to be all in with you, but you were not all in with me.
I mean, I think NFL players, and you hear them say it all the time, I mean, it's a business, right? I think they have to view it as that. If Jameis, like, would have,
if I'm sitting here telling you, Scott, you're my guy. Well,
are we talking about friendships, or are we talking about a job? Like, that's two different
or more.
You know what I'm saying? Or more. The Ben's not here. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to separate it. Like,
which I guess is why it's important to always like, you don't want your coach to be your GM, right? And you look at historically those situations where the coach is also the GM, the when it's time to be the coach, that and he was a harsh GM and cutting a guy's pay or negotiating for a replacement, but then you got to turn around and be his friend. Right. His coach is his leader. Then, yeah,
I think they stayed in touch with Jameis, you know, throughout the process and told him what they were doing. And, you know, it allowed Jameis also to look other places. He wanted to be here. I think they kind of knew that. I think that was kind of obvious. And I think, you know, he explored his options, but in the end, he's here. So I think he's in. I don't think he has any resentment anymore about anything. Like, I think he's done with that. I think they put it behind him and they're ready to move forward.
If he was really pissed at the Saints, he would have gone and signed somewhere else, right?
Yeah, like or, Matt Ryan did with,
or ask for more, you know, whatever.
Cat Terrell wrote an article that came out in The Athletic the Saints had told him, we want to stay in contact with you. We understand you're going to talk to other teams. We still want to follow up with you no matter what, but we are going to see if we can get Deshaun Watson. And I mean, it sounds like most other quarterbacks kind of understood that, except for Baker Mayfield. Everybody else kind of understood.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah. But I mean, I think his was different because truly had no like communication with him at all about it. And as long as he's been there, I think it was a little bit different.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way you put it there is right. So if I'm Jameis Winston and the team says, like, we can't just wait for you. I mean, like, if you're out there talking to people, we can't get caught with our pants down. So we're going to pursue all options until we know we have you, as you know, same thing, I guess. So, yeah. Okay.
It's like a two-way street.
And I thought it was a big deal kind of, I mean, what Jameis said the other day. When Jameis made the decision to come here from Tampa Bay, and I mean, the idea has been floating around that he turned down bigger contracts other places. He said, I'm going to New Orleans to work with Sean Payton and with Drew Brees and put myself through quarterback school. The last 2 years, each of those guys have left.
Right.
he got to spend time with both of them. But, and then, I mean, truly, and it's kind of, I didn't necessarily put this together thinking about the stuff he was talking about, but last year, he didn't know he was the starting quarterback until a week before the first game of the season. So I think that a lot of things that we saw from him in the preseason, which, I mean, he made some great throws, but he also made a lot of safe plays. If you're competing to be the starting quarterback, I don't think you get a really good preseason. Because in the preseason, Drew Brees used to throw interceptions like crazy in the preseason. I mean, I think they were talking about Lattimore and Marcus Williams would pick him off over and over and over again in practice. Well, that's because Drew was trying out what he could and couldn't get away with. He was checking out the receivers to see what kind of effort they were going to put into the catch. Jameis didn't get to do that last year. Jameis had pressure of, I've got to be perfect, and I'd rather throw the ball away than test out what my receivers can do, because he's trying to win a job.
Yeah.
He never got to what can his receivers do and what connection can I have with them, and where, you know, that's when we need to make mistakes in the preseason. He didn't get to do that.
So and he didn't have his wide receiver. He didn't have his main target. And
that's when he didn't have receivers too.
And he's battling that 30 interception narrative.
I think this year there's part of the reason why I wanted to say he signed back, there's all that pressure's gone. Like, Taysom's moving to tight end. Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton. He's not, he knows he's going to be the number two. So it kind of takes some of that pressure off, and maybe he can kind of get into a groove and experiment a little bit more and possibly take a little bit more.
My only concern with that, like, the pressure's off, is some quarterbacks, and we don't know if Jameis is this kind of guy, but some quarterbacks need the competition.
I think he wants to be relaxed and in a good mood and, you know, and kind of going with the flow and having a good time.
The pressure's off to be the starter, but I think he still feels like he has to prove himself. Yeah, I mean,
he's got a 2-year contract for $21 million. It's not like he's set for life and we just gave him a 5-year, $150 million deal. And yeah, if I screw up, I screw up. I still got all this money. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do to still get where he wants to be.
Yeah, I mean, this is like his last chance, right? Like, if he doesn't prove it in his next 2 years and gets a big contract, either from us or from somebody else, you know, he's going to end up doing these 1 or 2 year deals for the rest of his life.
Is he going to be 30 at the end of this 2 year deal?
I think, yeah, then I think he's about to turn 28.
Yeah.
So
you know, if he smashes the next 2 years, he's getting that big contract.
A big probably 5 or 6 year deal.
Probably from the Saints.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, and he's got it to prove.
It means something to me that he wants to be here. And yep. For all the things, and I got caught up in being upset about Peyton leaving all, but then when it just kind of took a second back and go, he quit. He wanted to quit. He wanted to leave. I felt a lot better about
it. Like, that's okay, another one.
I don't want people hanging around that don't want to be here. Like, this is, it's too much work, and it means something to everybody. And the fact that Jameis definitely had other options that were coming available, probably better options, just as good of options to go in. Like, in the, we're talking about the Colts. That was the rumors. He was about to get on a plane to go meet with the Colts and probably not leave Indianapolis without a deal. I mean, which when he did decided that he was going to work out the deal with us, they immediately moved to Matt Ryan. The fact that he wants to be here when he had other options now means a lot to me. And I'm glad that he's chosen to be here. And I think that he wants to do well for this city and team.
So that brings up the question of, like, why? Why does he want to be here? Because, sure. And I ask that because it seems like all these other free agents that we're so close to get, and I, you know, mainly can think of two examples that we were, by all intents and purposes and all accounts and reporting, we were going to get, we're the leading team, we're going to get this guy. And then last minute, they chose someone else. It's kind of starting to feel like, without Breeze, without Peyton, more so this year without Peyton, that we're not a destination team anymore.
And, well, I think he's,
or
I think
is it really just money?
No, I mean, well, a lot of it is money, but I think he came back because of, you know, what y'all keep talking about and preaching about, how, you know, keeping Carmichael and keeping that consistency in the coaching and all that bullshit that y'all spew, you know, that's why he came back.
So he
must be listening to this podcast and listening to y'all about Carmichael coming back, because he knows the offense. It's not Peyton, but he knows the offense. He knows what he's doing.
So he knows that we've got top 10 defense, right? He knows that he's got the defense. Last year, he didn't have Michael Thomas. This year, he's going to have Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. Well, maybe. We don't know what's happening there yet. The continuity side of it has come into it as well. You know, he's had two years with the team. He knows what the team's like. He knows what the culture's like. We've still got a good team.
Go ahead. Sorry, James.
No, I say maybe not quite as good as last year, because we have lost, you know, we've lost a couple of players I'm sure we're probably going to talk about, but it's still a good team.
Yeah, I think that the opportunity to win matters, but I think with Jameis has grown up a lot over the last 2 or 3 years in his life. And it's, I think that he wants to prove many things about, like, the person that the perception that we had of him, or if everybody had of him his first 2 years and as a young, goofy rookie and younger player, that he doesn't want to be that person anymore. And I think the best opportunity for him to do that is completing the job here in New Orleans, because for what it is worth, like, he hasn't gotten to do that. Last year, he didn't really get the chance because of the injury. And I think he sees that as unfinished business. So he at least needed to finish a season and see where he could have taken us, as he was, and he felt like he was getting better and better. And maybe if he had a complete season, he would have felt comfortable going somewhere else, of saying, like, okay, well, I did complete that. I feel like he doesn't think that he did anything here, and that got taken away. And so I think he wants to, maybe for the first time, truly complete something and build something, you know, as an NFL veteran and leader.
Yeah. Like, I honestly like Jameis Winston. Like, again, it started last year, you know, with the press conferences and seeing the work ethic, and then seeing the actual results on the field before he got injured, and then seeing how he responded to the injury and how he, you know, he stayed committed to the team. And then all of what you just said, Wesley, like, I like this guy. Like, I really like Jameis Winston. He's a likable fellow, which makes him a good leader. But like, I don't know. Like, I'm bought in. Like, I would have liked to have Deshaun Watson for his talent, but clearly not a lot of people would have may have liked him.
Who cares?
I know, but fuck Jameis.
I'm rooting for
Jameis Winston as a person. Like, I want to be his friend. Like, I think he's a really, I like the goofiness of him. He's not, you know what I mean? He doesn't come off as like an arrogant, like a Tom Brady who seems like he has no personality. He just seems like a great guy.
I like that he's getting to a point where it seems like he's being mature about like, hey, I've got a lot of work to do, but he's also got just enough cockiness to be a successful quarterback. I mean, he said that the other day, all the things your favorite quarterback can do. And that's, again, it's kind of weird. Like, what does he mean by that? One, is he just meaning in general, like, well, whatever quarterback you think is the best, is there a little bit, and I don't say not a dig, but a hint about Drew Brees there? Like, hey, all the stuff Drew Brees did to be successful, I can do that too. Because if he's meaning that, I think it's smart for him not to say Drew.
You're right. I think he was talking. And I think you meant something.
I think he was talking about Watson personally.
Or was there a shot at Watson?
I don't think Watson's anybody's favorite quarterback.
No, but when he's saying your favorite quarterback, is he talking to the Saints brass that tried to do everything to get Watson? Is he talking to the Saints fan base and the Saints media who Drew Brees is their favorite quarterback? Or is he just talking to every NFL fan that's listening right now? Whoever your favorite quarterback is, I can do whatever they can do.
It's all of the above.
Yeah. And where is it? All of them. So, and again, he didn't say it in a terrible way that you're like, man, what a douche. And he's an idiot. But
no, right. That's the thing.
He can believe in me. You guys need to believe in me now.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing, right? There's certain people who cannot get away with saying something like that without getting just coming off as a D-bag or an arrogant piece of shit, right? And he says it and it's like, what a great guy. Like,
sounds to me like Jeff wants to give him the D.
Nah, you're just jealous because you were against him and you're being
proven. I was not against him. I was never against him. Right. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Check the tape.
Please do check the tape because it'll prove that I was never against him.
It is just, I mean, with him, what he went through, I mean, the way he left Tampa with the 30 interceptions and coming here last year, fighting through the whole entire preseason to get a job
against people like Scott.
Then once he gets the starting job, he has no wide receivers, never has his full starting offensive line, and still leads us to a 5-2 record before blowing out his knee. Like, and he was on pace for, I think, 39 touchdowns and 6 interceptions or something. Like, it was fantastic what it was looking like it could be. So let's see a full season and preseason and season of him. So looks like his knee's doing well. So he seems to think he's on pace to kind of.
All that's important is that he does good interviews. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Right, Jeff?
It's a good start, yes.
So are you sure you don't have a number?
Don't.
You seem really very damn numberish today.
He has a premature number, but thinking about what he's gonna do tonight, he's prematurely enumerationing. All right.
I think they make pills and creams for that now, Scott.
Okay. I'll have to get you to send me yours.
And this is bringing us up to our first sponsor of the Dome Patrol podcast. We're looking at like sponsored content where they just start talking about it. It's not really an ad. It's just baked into the content. Yeah. All right. So that's Jameis Winston. Talked about all that. And the contract, real quick, it's mutually beneficial. I saw when it happened, a couple of ignorant Saints fans on Facebook, on Twitter, talk about how whatever their opinions on the contract were, they're like, oh my gosh, like we're overpaying or we're underpaying or we're whatever. No, I think that at the end of the day, people who know what they're talking about have come to the conclusion that this is a mutually beneficial, it's fair to both parties. The 2 years is a smart move for both parties as well. We can always choose the option to extend or if things are going well, or we can move on if things are not.
Like, I've seen it on multiple lists the last few weeks as being one of the best contract deals of the offseason.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been in every list.
And it pays him where he belongs, right? He's in the middle, you know, that's between 14 to 17.
He can earn up to 28 million total.
Yeah.
So over 2 years. So that's 14 million a year. I think that's a steal of a deal for us. Right, it allows him still to be young enough to establish a value in Kermit and get a $25 and $30 million deal.
Because he's still young.
Yep.
Yeah. But it does. Like, if he is currently, like, statistically, whatever, ranked, evaluated at, like, between, like, say, 15th, and we're paying him as, like, 15th, but then let's say he performs in the top 10. Now we've got a deal.
And we're paying him, like, 20th. Like, it's not, I mean.
So we're even paying, okay, so even better, right? So, okay.
Is it beyond the realms of possibility to be a top 10 quarterback next year? I don't think it is.
I think it's possible.
Very possible. I mean, he was heading there last year.
Yeah. And now he's got Michael Thomas.
The thing that hurts it is if Kamara misses 6 games, I think that slows that down. We need somebody else to be able to catch the ball. I think we're going to get a receiver.
Yeah, but he's
in the
got
draft.
Lance blocking for him.
Of Traquan will be blocking.
Traquan too. All right, which does bring, okay, so Andy Dalton, backup, great backup.
I'm a huge fan of this signing. I think the veteran presence is great, but if Andy Dalton has to come in and throw a pass for a couple of games, not scared of it. I also love the fact that it really makes me trust that the Saints have moved on from playing the Taysom Hill game. I know he said it the other day that he was going to be the F tight end. This 100%. It also makes me feel better that we're not going to do anything weird and trade up to draft a quarterback, because there's nowhere for a quarterback to go.
If you draft a quarterback this year, you're reaching.
Yeah.
Even
if Pickett's available at 18, like, which I think is, him at 18 is a tremendous deal, but there's nowhere for him to go.
I think people are trying to sell everybody on the idea that the even Pickett are better than they really are.
Yeah, for sure.
I think him and Malik
are being taken pretty decently high.
Right.
In this draft anyway.
They could easily both go top 10.
Yeah, I think people are going to try and jump ahead of Atlanta and Seattle. That's going to be the fight, is people trying to jump ahead of them because they think that they're going to take the quarterback.
And then, so you mentioned Taysom Hill, tight end, you know, maybe they line him up for a gimmick or they let him run here and there. I could see that, but
let's put him in on special teams.
He's strictly a tight end and a special teams player. Yeah.
Let's have him block punts and be a tight end. And
now
he can play the tight end role.
Yep.
And he can do it really well.
Yeah.
I mean,
and we need that.
He can't
just address the tight end situation.
He's not a $10 million a year tight end.
No, he's not.
But that's what we're doing. And it's the best use of his skills. And one, it's just an addition by subtraction. It keeps him out of the quarterback role, which makes everything better. And then let's just find something for him to do. and he happens to be really good at this. So, I mean, it works out. He's going to be overpaid as a tight end, but it needs to happen.
It's something he can focus on too. Like, he doesn't have to worry about trying to learn all these other different positions and shit. He can just focus on one thing. And I think too, you're going to see, you think he slimmed down last year to try to fill that quarterback role. I think you're going to see him beef up and be bigger than he's ever been.
Yeah. He might be taller than we've ever known. He could be 6'4" by the end of the time the season starts. I can't wait to see him wearing 2 gloves. I'm like, seriously, that's going to bring so much joy to me. He's always wearing the one glove, which always pisses me off because it reminds me that they're going to put him in at quarterback in about 3 more plays.
You just want the surety.
I just want the surety.
Peace of mind.
You're going to check it.
Wesley's going to be at the game with the binoculars. Like, all right, 2 gloves.
If he comes out and plays this entire season with 1 glove while still not throwing a pass, I'm going to be so irritated every time I see it.
What if he's got 2 gloves, but then you look on the sideline and you see him like start to unvelcro one of the gloves. You're like, no. And then you realize, oh, he's just adjusting. Oh, thank goodness.
He needs to wear the 2 gloves. And they like every once in a while, like run a play where you have him take the glove off and go into motion and the whole defense starts scrambling.
Right.
And he doesn't even touch the ball. He's just running, carrying his other glove.
That would be awesome. Just fuck with the other team. Yeah.
Hey, talk about a distraction. I mean, that's it. Him taking off his glove and going into motion. Everybody will think he's going back to throw a.
I mean, and again, like you could line, you say tight end, but you can line him up in the running back position. You could wildcat it. I mean, you could still tinker around with it, but I wouldn't. I don't want to disrupt.
I just want to, let's let our quarterback be a quarterback. Let's have a great whoever's the best to being quarterback, having be the quarterback 100% of the time.
Which like, does beg the question where like. Again, like I know Scott, you're gonna not like that I say this, but it's like maybe Sean Payton, like maybe it's better not to have Sean Payton who, and again, not this is no discount. Sean Payton is still the best coach we've ever had, best offensive coach I've ever seen. But maybe the last couple of years, because maybe he was kind of checked out and he's like, who gives a shit kind of attitude, like let's test some ideas just to see if they work. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, and where like now you've got coaches and Pete Carmichael who's saying no, we're gonna like do this the right way, we're gonna let our quarterback be a quarterback and we're gonna take this science experiment out of the equation, we're gonna make him play the position that he's gonna play.
Well, I'm confused, like is Carmichael running the same offense like y'all keep saying he's gonna do, or is he doing different stuff? Like y'all need to make up your mind what y'all want from this man.
What?
I don't care if Pete Carmichael runs the same offense. I think Pete Carmichael's smart enough to do multiple things, and we don't have the same player. So I think it'd be really dumb for us to run the same offense.
Right.
We have a quarterback with a strong arm for the first time in 6 years.
Right. You and might Jason push the were ball the ones downfield. Who were complaining because you think that they're going to tread out Sean Payton's offense and that Pete Carmichael won't be able to do it, where we were saying, no, Pete Carmichael can be a good offensive coordinator on his own, and he doesn't have to run Sean Payton's offense. He can run a derivative of it. You know, he's on the Sean Payton tree, which means, yes, he will be influenced, but it is going to be Pete Carmichael's offense, not Pete Carmichael's version of Sean Payton's offense, if that makes any sense, if you see the difference. And the first difference is Taysom Hill will not be a quarterback.
Already an improvement on offense then.
All right. And then I still can't like, so I'm concerned that we lost Armstead and the Saints. I mean, other than Andy Dalton and Marcus, what's his name? Marcus May. Like we've been pretty quiet in free agency. And I don't know if that's because it was kind of like Watson or bust. Is everybody shell shocked? Are they tired? Are they
got like, more picks? What are we going to do? We've got more picks in a draft this year than we've had for a couple of years. You know, Hurst is going to go to left tackle, right?
Stay, by the sounds you mean of it.
Stay at left tackle. Now he had a really good seat. He played more snaps at left tackle for the Saints last year than anybody else.
Yep,
and he looked good. And he gave up three pressures and one sack in all of his snaps but at we left need tackle.
Some depth, and I guess that's fine to do that through the draft, right?
Yeah, no, I fully expect it to either be an offensive lineman or a wide receiver in round one on the draft. I don't think there'll be any other positions. But, you know, do we need to go out and spend money on free agents when there aren't that many holes on the roster that need filling?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy than last year. Jenkins and Williams both leaving, which, I mean, the two of them together did well as safeties as far as keeping us from getting beat by the deep ball. It appears Marcus May is going to be replacing Malcolm Jenkins, and we don't have anybody so far that's replaced Marcus Williams. And May is going to miss probably 3 games is what kind of the early thoughts are from his
CD Bills.
The
Tyrann Mathieu.
Well, or the first thing we need to do. Yeah, that would be great. I'm not sure if I think that's a pipe dream, but I think the first thing we have to do is right now sign PJ Williams. So at least there's somebody around that sort of knows how to do it. I don't want PJ Williams to necessarily do that job for 17 games. I think the great thing that PJ Williams does is kind of being able to plug and play for a little bit. And he can be at the boundary corner or slot or free safety or strong safety and kind of get the job done. But losing both of those to combine for Marcus May, who's going to miss some games, is a little bit scary. And then you just throw Armstead in there. That is a big team leader missing. And when he's in there, he's possibly the most dominant left tackle in football when he is playing. So, I mean, there's definitely questions there. It seems like
for what all we heard about how the Saints cleared $30 million so we could be in position to trade for Watson, we haven't done anything with it.
What are we banking that money? We're gonna, because you can roll your surplus forward, right?
Yeah, I saw something today saying that with the way Saints have done contracts and all, that we're down to like under $4 million available now. So I'm not sure what all they moved around and what they did, but it's
What do you mean? Like, wait, so that we're only $4 million under the cap?
Right.
So potentially we did some moves that we then undid, or we said we were going to do some moves if we signed Watson
I saw it this morning, wasn't able to like keep okay. looking on it. But
so you're saying we might not have as much to do stuff with as we thought. We still got to pay the rookies. Yeah, obviously, right. You got to leave some room for that. And then,
yeah, I did see something this morning from somebody at NFL, like NFL media, who said that we've still got $21 million to spend. Look, who knows? The cap's a myth.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I mean, at the end of the day, does it really matter? And you can do
it as long as Mickey and Kai Hartley know what it is, like, then that's all that matters. Right.
It's like I get the desire to have a normal cap situation in the future and quit playing this game where you've got to bust your ass and do all these restructures and whatnot. But at the same time, it's kind of like, how do the Rams?
Okay. Yeah. We do have 21.3. Like, we do have 21.3 right now.
24. Okay. But like, how do teams like the Rams and again, maybe it's just, it's not really how I'm seeing it, but it just feels like everybody's going to the Rams, you know? And I know that's not exactly true, but like Bobby Wagner just went over there and they're keeping Cooper Kupp. And it's just like, they're stacking, man. Like the Rams are stacked.
It sounds very much to me like the rest of the NFL have started catching up with what the Saints do with the ghost years and all that kind of stuff. But the Saints have gone, well, actually, we've taken that as far as we can now. So we're now going to go the other way and we're not going to do that anymore and watch every other team mess themselves up in the future.
But it's not really messing up. I mean,
it's not ideal that we have to do that every year.
But it
might be messing up because they might not know how to get out of it like we do.
Well, that part.
Well, here's why it's the reason the Saints have been able to make it not look like messing up for so long has been good drafting. The Rams have traded. The one thing the Saints did is the Saints did things with money, but we didn't trade our draft picks and then do it. The Rams have screwed themselves here in a couple of years because they don't have the draft picks to build through. And yes, they are going to run into money problems in a couple years. But what the Saints are finding is the problem is what we had last year, where we had a great starting lineup and they did a great job because of drafting to have that, but we had no depth whatsoever. And we have that same problem this year coming up that we're saying, Armstead went, Hurst's fine. But what if we lose any offensive lineman again? Because then we're talking about.
Then Taysom Hill's going to have to play offensive lineman.
Right. I mean, so we're still not a very deep team. I think that we've got an amazing starting lineup from the defense and
a big drop off.
The offense, if Michael Thomas is back, can be serviceable with, and if Kamara's healthy and not suspended, can be serviceable. There's good enough players, but we have no depth again. And the depth is because of what we've done with the salary cap. I mean, it's easy to look at our starting 22 and be like, oh, what's salary cap? The Saints have done great. Look at all those.
One
or two of those gets hurt. We've got tons of problems. And
that's
the only reason we're semi treading water is because of our drafting ability.
It's still 2017, isn't it? It's still that draft.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what other teams may not be taking into account when they're doing this, or maybe they're overestimating their ability to draft. I mean, nobody's going to admit that they suck at drafting.
Since 2017, have any team come close to having the draft that we had in 2017?
Not even us.
No, there's no team that have come close to.
Right.
I mean, you know,
it'll be a long time before anybody does. I mean, that, and you say that skill, but there's a little bit of luck in that too. Let's be honest. If we're being completely honest, nobody could predict. Yeah. Like, you can have the
No. The Saints didn't draft those players in 2017 expecting how it turned out. They can't have done.
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess everybody expects or hopes.
Nobody expected Trey Hendrickson to be a 20 sack a season player, did they? When they drafted him in the third round out of wherever it was he came from.
It wasn't an instant hit either.
You know, did we expect Alvin Kamara as fans? Did we expect Alvin Kamara to be what he is from the from a third round pick from Tennessee?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
He,
a lot
he
of people were like, "Who's
he got
this
thrown
guy?
Off the Alabama football team?" I expected him to get suspended for assaulting somebody. He's turned out exactly as we expected. Yes, James. It just took a few years, but we have figured out he's exactly just like what Hendrickson. We thought we were getting.
Wait, we have a player that committed an assault on somebody.
Are
like
you quitting?
That.
You're done, Scott. You're out.
I'm thinking about it. I'm really considering it.
Oh, that's right. We only have to consider it and say it, and then we don't have to follow up on it. Okay, so we talked about Taysom Hill. We talked about Traquan's back. There you go. We talked about that. we talked a little bit about the salary cap. Malcolm Jenkins announced his retirement, which I don't, for the listeners, y'all don't know this, but everybody predicted this in our group chat except me. I didn't even comment on it, but Wesley, you called it for sure. Whenever, what was the question that was posed to Dennis Allen about Malcolm Jenkins, and he said something like, "I'm gonna let him speak for himself.
He said, well, when they renegotiated Malcolm Jenkins' contract a couple of weeks ago, that's when I first said you don't do that unless you're retiring. Same thing Breeze did. And Jeff, I don't know if you've been listening to the podcast that you haven't been invited to participate in, but we've discussed this a few times. And then the other day Dennis Allen was asked, hey, so
I play it but I don't actually listen.
What is the deal with the Malcolm Jenkins contract and his future? And he goes, oh, I haven't talked to Malcolm. You should probably ask him. Well, 14 hours later, Malcolm Jenkins was on.
It was literally the next day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the next day. Yeah. Malcolm
on
Jenkins
some random show. Yeah. But and you think about like Malcolm Jenkins, man, like what a career. Like, pour some out for Malcolm Jenkins. Give the man respect. Like two Super Bowls with two different teams. And one was his rookie year with us, right? And then I had my stats and I deleted them, but
beat the Eagle when the Eagles came back and beat the Patriots.
Came back to us the last 2 years. And
he's also up there with Rob Ninkovich as two times that Sean Payton completely screwed up and was wrong about a player. When Malcolm Jenkins was not a great cornerback, and we did not foresee that we could have moved him to safety and kept him here. Like, we had no reason that he needed to go. And I mean, same thing when, you know, P Rob left and got moved inside on a little bit smaller scale, but Malcolm Jenkins is someone that if we would have never let him leave New Orleans, could have had an amazing career here. And, be leaving as one of those popular players of all time. But he went to Philadelphia. Like, we thought he was done, 'cause he started being a pretty bad boundary cornerback.
And we immediately missed him when he was gone. We were like,
They moved him to safety. And well, they moved him to safety when we signed Jairus Byrd, I believe, was around that same couple of mistakes compiled together.
According to Pro Football Reference, they've got him listed as free safety from 2010 and on.
No, that's when he started. He started with us in 2010.
No, it's 2009. It has him listed as a cornerback, and then they have 2010 position as free safety.
Interesting.
But you're saying that the Saints never used him as a safety.
So I don't think we committed to
until.
So in the Super Bowl, the cornerbacks were Jabari Greer and Tracy Porter, right?
Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins.
Was he a backup? Was he?
He started six games. Yeah, he.
I'm sure he played safety six that season. Sure, he did.
He had one interception that year.
Well, we had him as free safety, and his strong safety is where he ended up making all the moves.
Because he was the one that had that amazing strip fumble on the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, wasn't it? That was Malcolm Jenkins with that play, wasn't it? Thanksgiving 2010.
I was at that game. Those the Roy Williams had no reason to be trying to run down the field with that ball, and Roy Williams was just as much responsible for that strip as Malcolm.
But yes, he was, it was Malcolm Jenkins, wasn't it? Yeah.
Y'all know he has not missed a game since 2014. Yeah, 2014, he played all 16.
He's the longest streak. His retirement was the longest
streak of anybody currently in the NFL.
It would have been Cam Jordan, wouldn't it? Unless, without COVID.
Yep. Although, well, I guess last COVID, year he came played back 16 better. Out of 17 games, though. It has him as playing 16 games last year.
Huh.
Did he miss one?
COVID? I think he missed one of the games for COVID, didn't he? He was on the COVID list for a game.
Sounds about right. Anyway, Malcolm Jenkins, you will be missed. I'm sure he will move on to being, I think he'll have a media personality or he'll do something. I don't think he's going to retire quietly and like go live on a ranch somewhere. You know?
Jeff, are you taking a knee right now for the, as respect to Malcolm Jenkins?
Yeah, I would. Yes, I would. All right. And then in good news, Bruce Arians is retiring.
How is that good news? I mean, they're going to have to they're promoted someone that's better than him.
He's not retiring. Bruce, he's moving to the front office.
What is Bruce Arians' record against the Saints? Because it really isn't good. I think he's won two games against this in his career.
One was in the playoffs. I know that.
It was.
Did they ever beat us? Did he ever beat us with the Cardinals?
I think it's 2-8, apparently.
Yeah, 2-8.
Not good news.
So yeah,
one and two as the Cardinals head coach, and 1-6 as the Buccaneers head coach.
You think it was the shutout that made him retire? He's like, I can't do this anymore.
There's some weird stuff going on there with, like, everybody when Brady retired said he's not really retiring. He's going to try and force his way to San Francisco. Like, that was a pretty agreed upon story. And then the Miami thing came out, and then Brady comes back, and then the Miami story gets out there again. And now Arians is just suddenly retiring. It's strange to re-sign some of your free agents and to negotiate with all these people, and then your head coach, you know, resign and retire. It's a strange thing.
Is a controversial take for you. I was watching, and this is controversial. So I was watching Pro Football Focus. We have it on TV over here. So Florio and Sims yesterday.
Very controversial.
Very controversial. Yeah. But they were talking about this rule of the Rooney rule, counting if you appoint somebody after March the 1st. Apparently that's always been there.
But Todd Bowles went on multiple interviews. So did they allow him to go on interviews knowing they were going to promote him? That's all a weird.
I'm wondering if part of Brady coming back was kind of pushing Arians out. Like, I don't
that's
think
what I, that's what out. I wonder if there's something there. I mean, again, Brady's first season in Tampa, for the first 6 or 8 games, they ran Arians' offense and were not good. And then all of a sudden we started seeing their offense start running more and more of the Patriots plays that were successful for Tom Brady. And then it took them to the Super Bowl. So there has to be some sort of, silence or not, power struggle there that, like, for what it's worth, Brady kind of has the trump card there of, well, mine worked and yours didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it now makes Matt Rhule the longest tenured head coach in the NFC South.
Inconceivable!
Are we doing final thoughts now?
Yeah, that's so. Let's go. Was there anything I forgot to bring up? Like, any other news?
Well, I wasn't on the show with the Twitter bashing. So I just want to say, on behalf of myself, fuck all the Twitter wannabe media Saints people. Y'all know who y'all are.
I don't think, like, he's taking a risk saying fuck Nader. Like, Nader's a... I cannot believe anybody actually still even gives that guy the time of day.
But what if Nader responds back on his pod? Oh, wait.
Nader predicted a week ago that I'd call his name out on the show.
Right? What a... Oh, my God. What a child. All right. Anybody else? Final thoughts?
Draft is sneaking up on us pretty quick. I think the Saints still need to make a few moves in free agency. Obviously,
get Don Honey Badger.
Scott, I thought you already did your final thought.
I'm injecting into yours. Get Honey Badger. Stop fucking around and get the man. Let's go.
So okay. Tyrann Mathieu is in the state of Louisiana right now, helping out with LSU. I'll say both of these. I think that for what we have with our defense and the way it is set right now, that Tyrann Mathieu is a terrible fit. We will have three very undisciplined players that are exciting and fun to watch and great to root for. I'm here for it. I want it to happen. I'm just saying he's a bad fit.
Who's
for him
third?
Or Marcus May? Some CD Deuce.
No. So you're saying Marcus May is also
Marcus May can be. I mean, he's a good, strong safety. He can get down in the box and hit. You put him at free safety. He's gonna take some risks and he's gonna mess up.
Well, it's free.
The thing that Marcus Williams was known for is just being in the right place at the right time. He didn't really risk anything unless it was trying to tackle somebody out of bounds.
Besides so that's Minnesota
that,
on the last play of the game.
I'm all for it. Please sign Tyrann Mathieu today. I'm also saying he's a terrible fit for what Dennis Allen has done with our
defense. Sounds like he's the right fit. That's what we want.
He's the opposite.
We need a ball hawk.
He's the opposite of Marcus Williams. But I'm here for it. And then also we've still got, we're just talking about LSU Tigers. Jarvis Landry's out there trying to get $16 million a year that he's not going to get. So there's people out there that
wouldn't mind picking up. Jarvis, like a receiver, so that we don't have to stress as much about that in the draft. James.
Will Fuller for a couple of
games. I would still take Landry, but I'd also still draft a receiver in the first round.
Olave.
Oh, Chris Olave. Yeah, Olave. Please.
Olave.
Classic Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, no final thought from me.
I was going with the
me.
British pronunciation.
Yeah. No, that's no, it's still Olave. Don't worry. It's still
Olave. I spell defense with an S.
Yeah, yeah. So whilst we're talking about Britain and England, and I know it's going off topic, but obviously the World Cup was drawn today, and England are in the same group as the USA.
Ooh.
November the 25th, it will be the game, I believe. So yeah, the shit talking.
How close
will,
is that to Thanksgiving?
That's like right there.
They don't have Thanksgiving in England.
Ours.
Oh, that's the day after Thanksgiving, bruh.
Yeah. They don't.
But it's Friday, November the 25th is when England will play the USA in the World Cup. So be prepared for a thumping that you've never had before. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Scott's had that thumping before. He's used to it. He likes it. The last few seconds.
So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive one podcast, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the Pelican Plunge Ghost Podcast, the Premier League Ghost Podcast, and the Tiger's Den. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. Also, we are at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook, watch live streams sometimes. And if you want to participate in our game day chat or you want to just chat to us at any time, DM us on Twitter. You'll get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And then if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, because none of the other ways work, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Malcolm Jenkins.
Donkeys. Good night, Who Dat Nation. Thank you.
spirit armed tiger with claws.